Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
I am Carla Hallman, and I am interviewing my mother, Eleanor Eichmann. It is March 15th, 2019. So, hello, Mom.
Hi there.
All right, so we're going to start with, when and where were you born?
I was born in Manchester, Iowa. And I was born to in my grandmother's house in Manchester, Minnie. And it was on the edge of town.
Mm-hmm. And is that in Manchester, is that where you grew up?
I was there, and then we moved to several different places because we were farmers, and I don't know for sure, but I don't think we owned everything. I think it was we worked for other people part of the time. But there, I went to Greeley. I was one of the few people who attended a kindergarten, because people my age a lot of times did not attend kindergarten. It was lots of fun. I remember a lot of the playthings that we had in kindergarten. I don't know what I learned, but we had fun playing. And I remember also living in this little house. Do you mind if I just go ahead and tell you a few things?
Yeah, this is what we want.
There was, evidently it must have been during the war years, because Willie doesn't remember anything like this, but we had to have our shades all drawn and blacked out at night because of the war. We didn't want lights on. And so everything was blacked out. I remember that we planted moonflowers behind the garage, and they were beautiful smelling at night. One of the bad parts, that was at one of the farms. We lived at my grandmother's farm too, a big red farm, brick house. And I went to a country school, and I was the new kid on the block, and there were a lot of big bullies. And after school, these big bully guys, I was wearing a cap that was tied and everything. It must have been pretty cold out. And they dumped my head in the slough or a pond. And when I got home, boy, was my dad mad. And he went back to school and really raised Cain. And that's most of what I remember of there. I did go often to my Aunt Hannah's place, which was very near my grandmother's. It was only about a half a block away. And she would play with me. And she was poor. And so we had a sock wadded up. And we played Annie I over the garage with this sock. Lots and lots of fun. She gave me my dishes, my little doll dishes, which I am still very proud of. They're a blue willow. And I keep them in my china closet now. Then she just was such a peach of a person. And let's see, there was a song that we played on the Victrola Oh, I can't remember it now. Oh, rabbit in the pea patch, picking out peas. And when I was about maybe 9 or 10 years old, we went back to visit. We were living in South Dakota at that time, and went back to visit her, and she was in what they called an asylum. And it just hurt my heart to, we went in to unlock this building that she was in. And then we had to unlock another door and go in another place. And finally, then she was locked in another room. And she didn't know us. My father was alive and with us then. And when I started singing Rabbit in the Pea Patch, picking out peas, she remembered my father and I for a short time. After that, it was a short time, and she thought we were all aliens. She didn't like any of the rest of the people that were there. It was just my father and I. So we were very special to her.
Mm-hmm. So
we moved to South Dakota when I was in the first or second grade.
Yeah, okay.
And my grandfather's, one of his sons had died, and in the hospital in Sioux Falls. And so he wanted us to move to South Dakota to live with him, and he promised to give us a new car. And I thought that that's what we got, was a new car. Yeah, I found out later it was a used car, a DeSoto. And I was very mad when someone told me that that wasn't a new car. And we had visited my grandpa a few times before that. And I remember going down to we came into Model A. And we went through the fruit cellar doors that they opened up. And we went down the basement, which was a rock basement, kind of smelly, and up the stairs. And I hid under the table because I didn't think that he could see me there. And Grandpa was pretty special. Then,
is this Grandpa Fred?
Yes, this was Grandpa Fred.
Yeah. Okay.
This was before his son died, that we were there visiting. So then we had a sale in Iowa. We sold everything. We moved to Salem, South Dakota, which was really a pretty modern house for those days. 2.5-story house, nice white house, not the little lean-to type that many people had. And we had carbine lights. That was, had a well thing out in the yard that you had to put this barrel of stuff into it. And then you would light these carbine lights inside. And they gave off a lot of lights, much better than kerosene lights. They were
state of the art, huh?
Yeah, they were pretty nice. My grandfather's house was pretty modern. Much more modern than many other homes. And some of the people of the area didn't like him, I guess, because during the Dirty 30s, he did not lose anything. And a lot of other people did. One reason he didn't lose it was because he farmed some lowland that got more moisture. Mm-hmm. So he had that there. That was a pretty modern farm.
Yeah.
It had, there was a sheep building that the Kiva sheep were in, and on top of it was a kind of a generator type thing that they charged batteries, and then the barn had lights from this generator type thing, and the batteries. The barn was a big red barn. It said 1919 on it. So that was very pretty. Red barn with white decorations.
What were you like when you were a kid? Did you get in trouble a lot or anything?
Were you a good kid? I was pretty good, except I didn't like to wash the dishes and always had to go to the bathroom, which was an outhouse outside whenever it was time to do dishes.
So what was the worst thing you did as a kid?
My grandfather, who we lived with, wore overalls, which he hung on his bedroom door. And he had always had a lot of change in the pockets. And I wanted some of that money, and I stole some of those coins. I remember it as one of the worst things I did. And I did not want my kids doing things like that. Tried to teach them to be honest. And
did they find out that you took
apparently
it?
Apparently not.
No. Okay.
Another thing that I did, they did find out about this one, was there was a leather pouch that had some Indian head tokens, coins in it, and I spent them in Salem as pennies.
Oops.
They were worth quite a bit of money, I guess.
Oh.
That was my trouble.
So tell me about your siblings.
My brother was a little stinker.
You were the oldest, right?
I was the oldest. My brother was, when we were good friends, except that he always wanted to take my things apart. Like, we both got a new bicycle, and he wanted to take my new bike apart. And then also, I was supposed to, we went to a country school, and I had to let him ride on the back end of my bike. And I didn't like that, because I had to do all the pedaling.
How much younger was he?
5 years younger.
5 years, okay.
One night on the way home, it was very windy and I had to pedal into the wind. It was very, very difficult. And I dumped him off and made him walk home. Because he had a new bike, just like mine. Only his was red and mine was blue. A Schwinn bicycle. And he got on his bike and learned how to ride that night. Before that, he didn't know how to ride. He rode it fine after that.
Yeah.
But I was in trouble for dumping him off.
What's your best memory as a child?
Seeing my grandpa, and I mean, I was afraid of him at first, but I really liked him. And he, at Christmas time, he put on
gunny sacks.
Yeah. And dress up like he was Santa Claus, only they were brown, of course. Mm. But we thought that was pretty cute. Mm. And he would also rock us in the rocking chair and sing German songs to us.
Was everybody...
My dad was real special to me.
Yeah.
And he just was plain special. I don't know what he did that was so special for me, but he just plain was. He would always, sometimes he spent money that we didn't have that should have never been spent.
Do you remember any stories that he might have told you or anything like that?
No.
I'll skip that one. You already told me that. your favorite, any other favorite relatives?
My Uncle Jim, my dad's half-brother. He was like a dad to me. He came home from the army, and the day that he got home, he was right out in the field helping with the farming that afternoon. He was a big help. And
he lived with you, right?
He lived with us.
There was, who all was in this big house with you?
Well, let's see. There was my grandpa, Fred, that owned the farm and the house. My mother and dad, my brother Donald and I. Then Grandpa Jim came, who was my dad's half-brother, half-dad. No, he was my dad's dad. And my dad's half-brother and my grandma, who had been married to my grandpa and divorced and then married and then moved in with us when she was sick. And it's got to be too many people.
The wife that he divorced?
The wife he divorced was living there too. So Grandpa Fred moved out. The guy who owned the farm, he moved to Unityville, which is a very small place.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then later when you were still living there, Joy came along?
Yes, my little sister was born.
And how much younger was she?
I was 13 when she was born.
Okay.
12 or 13. Anyway, yeah. And I didn't want her. She was in the house for 3 days before I'd even go near her. And she was very spoiled and got everything she wanted. The rest of us didn't get too much. My mother inherited some money, and we wore patches to school, and she went to Washington to visit relatives. Little sister had 13 dresses, and we had patches. And we got, I think my brother got a billfold from Walla Walla, Washington. That's all he got out of that inheritance.
So, can you tell me more about what your parents were like? Well, you said your dad was really special.
He was. Yeah. My mother was mean. She was not fair. She whipped me. Of course, my dad, this was the year before he died, spanked me, not because I was naughty, but just with a yardstick to prove that he could still do it. That made me mad. That time I was mad at him.
Did you do anything to deserve that? Not in your mind, you don't.
No. Yeah. And he knew it too. He just wanted to prove that he could still do it.
How would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as a kind, caring, Christian mother and friend to everyone.
Now there's one here you marked. Are you proud of me?
Yes, I am. I'm very proud of you.
I know you are.
You're a little sweetheart.
Do you remember what was going through your head when you first saw me?
Oh, you were just such a funny little thing. You had long black hair that no matter what you did with it, it was a mess. Wouldn't stay combed in the blanket.
And now I have
blonde
hair. Yep. How did you choose my name?
Well, your brother was chosen just out of a book as the name of Calvin. We had a book that had kids' names in it, and we chose that name. Then when the twins were born, I was teaching, and I had a student that I really liked, and her name was Christy. So we named them Christy and Kathy, or Christine and Catherine. And then you had to have a name that was started with a C.
Well, there was Craig. You want to tell us about
Craig? Yes, Craig was the second child that was born shortly after Cal was born. I mean, about 10 months after he was born. And sad part was that we didn't really want him until we couldn't have him, and he died at 3 days old. And so when the twins were born, we were just rejoiced because we were paid back. And we learned a good lesson from the other one. And they would have been very, very spoiled if we hadn't had Carla. And so Carla was special too.
When did you first find out that you were going to be a parent, and how did you feel?
Well, I was joyed, but I was teaching, and in those days, teachers weren't supposed to be pregnant. And I was married, but I got sick in school. Was the first sign, I think, that that I was pregnant.
How has being a parent changed you?
I think I learned to be more thoughtful to everyone, mm-hmm. and to share more.
Yeah. What are your dreams for your children?
I want them to be people that I can be proud of. I want them to do their best at whatever they do.
Did you have any nicknames when you were growing up?
No. One guy called me Ellie, and I did not like that guy. And I did not like him calling me Ellie. So I always had the name of Eleanor.
How about any best friends?
When I was going to grade school, there was a girl, Jean, that we grew up together. We had sleepovers once in a while. And as we went on into high school, we still were good friends. As we got to be 15, I got to be 15. I think she was about that age too. So we were both juniors or seniors. And we double dated with the guys that we married. And now we're still friends. And she came to visit me a few times. And it was so sad. Because I could see that something was wrong. She had her socks on goofy, and her hair was a mess, and she always was so neat. Now when I see her, she's in a nursing home and in pretty bad shape, and here she is, my age. It's very sad.
Yeah. Talk about, how about any sad times growing up, or the worst thing you could think of that you had to experience?
Losing my father when I was 13. Because my father was mighty special. And in the summer before he died, he was driving the car, and several of the neighbor kids and us were in the car, and he went in the ditch. He said the car, there was something wrong with the car. But really, we found out later was that he'd had such extreme headaches and he probably almost passed out. And he was in the fall. He went to the doctor and was diagnosed as being a heading
tumor?
No, not right away.
Oh.
They
migraine?
Not even that. But anyway, they treated him with hot moist treatments, which was the worst thing they could have done. January 6th of that year, he was taken to Mayo Clinic, where he died in March of a tumor cancer. He had at least two operations that they took out tumors. I still think that there was a third operation, but it was so growing so fast that they took out the size of a grapefruit one time and an orange another time. So it was growing so fast.
So
I never saw him again after the 6th of January.
He was in the Mayo Clinic that long, like 3 months.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've never allowed
to
go along.
And you couldn't go and see
him. I was told that kids weren't allowed to go visit people in the hospital. Which wasn't so. My mother just didn't want me to go along. Mm.
And then Uncle Jim was kind of...
Uncle Jim finished raising us kids. Mm-hmm. And he put us first before himself, always. If he had any money, it was spent on us. Even after we were married, and he was farming. He brought us eggs and meat and stuff to help stretch our grocery bill. Mm. Always doing something for us. We were always so happy when he came to visit. He and my brother came many times when we were living in Laverne, Minnesota.
So, do you want to tell me about how you met my dad?
Well,
how old were you, and probably what?
I was only 15.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I had seen him in town on a Saturday night. He was just kind of, you know, eyeballing. He and another guy were eyeballing any young girl that was around. But then they were going to go to sports day, my girlfriend, another girlfriend and I, which is in Canastota, which is a big celebration. They had it every year at harvest time. And I wanted to go, and I was going to get to go with this girlfriend. But we had to finish the hay in that day, which meant that we had rented a hand-tie baler. And I couldn't drive the tractor straight enough to keep it on the roll, so I had to sit behind and put the wires in and tighten them, and that was a dirty, dirty, dirty job. So I wanted to go so bad, so we had, washed, I had to go home and take a bath, and which was a big thing in those days because, boy, you had to take a bath in the wash tub in front of the stove and shampoo my hair and everything. And my girlfriend and I had it planned that we were going with her folks, but we were going to find some guy to take us home to her place. We didn't know who. Turned out to be my husband later.
That's neat. That was at Canova?
Canastota.
Canastota. Okay. And that was the big carnival or festival.
Big carnival. Fireworks and Ferris wheel and everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, back to my grandpa. He took us to a carnival in Salem. I got to tell you about this. And he put me on Tilt-A-Whirl. And I don't think he'd ever been on one before, but he went on with me. And he was so scared. I don't remember if I was or not, but he sure was. You could see the veins in his neck just getting stiff and straight.
That's funny. Okay. So then you were love at first sight?
No, not exactly.
Okay.
I just, he was a nice guy. And I kind of liked him, but no love at first sight. But I went with a few other guys, and in fact, he kept trying to be with me too much, and I kind of tried to break it off a couple of times, because it wasn't that I didn't like him, but he was just pushing me too much, and I was too young, and I wanted to play the field.
Didn't he tell me about how he called you up?
Oh, well, he went to a neighboring country school where he was. And because we didn't have telephones or cell phones in those days in the house as much, and he couldn't use the one at the house because his dad wouldn't have allowed it. But he went to the country school, which was near there, and he and a neighbor friend wired that telephone up. He got into the school and wired that phone up so that he could call me and make a date for Saturday night.
But you had a phone. You could talk in your house.
At our house, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, it was the kind where you had to stand there and hold the receiver to your ear and talk into this microphone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you dated. Eventually, you fell in love.
Well, 5 years before we finally got married.
Uh-huh. Long distance relationship.
Because he was in the service for 2 years. He was gone during that time. A
lot of letters.
Lots of letters, which I kept for many, many years. And then the year we were living south of, over by Harrisburg, I believe, I finally burned those letters because I didn't want the kids to read them.
Okay. All right. So then we are raising kids, and you found out, oh, you were teaching then, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how did you decide you wanted to be a teacher?
Well, my Uncle Jim had promised my dad that he would send me to school. And he wanted me to be a nurse and go to the Mayo, to St. Mary's in Rochester and be a nurse. But I didn't want to be a nurse. I couldn't stand the sight of blood. I couldn't seem to keep a Band-Aid on straight. So I decided that I wanted to go to school. And this guy came from Madison at General Beadle, and he came to our house, and he offered me that I could have tuition, free tuition, which was by the quarter in those days, which was $48 a quarter for tuition. And he later told everybody at the campus that I wasn't from Salem, I was from Unityville, which was closer really, but it was just a little burg, I think, almost vacant. Uh-huh.
So did you always want to be a teacher, or you didn't?
I liked being a teacher. I really enjoyed it. If I had to do it over again, I think I would have gone into special ed because I liked working with the students that were special problems. And the principals knew that they could give me some of the tough kids, and that was fine as long as they gave me a few easy ones too. And I just found a way to get along with them. One thing that I did do, which wouldn't work today, was if Johnny was a naughty boy that day, I would say, you know, you're kind of having a tough day, and I think I should sweeten you up. And so I would go and get my purse. And I had a reputation that the kids all knew that when I went to get my purse was to put some lipstick on. And I would give those Henri boys a kiss when they were, and they straightened out. It backfired on me once because one kid kept it on all day and went to a game that night. He was proud of it. He was from kind of a neglected family. Never hurt them a bit, but they straightened up. One kid asked me, Mrs. Eichmann, this was when he was just a new kid in town, said, I heard a rumor about you. Do you really have a whole case of lipstick?
Okay, well, let's see. What shall we talk about now? Do you have any? Well, that would be a favorite story from work. You did teach, what, one or two of your grandsons?
I had one grandson that I had taught, and he was, took a lot of work to work with him. I loved teaching, absolutely loved it.
And you retired?
I was voted teacher who makes a difference 1 year. Which made my kids very proud of me. And they brought roses to school. I actually went to finish my degree after Carla was in kindergarten. And the kids all got together. I had gone for 2 years to school, which would allow you to teach in those days. But then I wanted to go back and get my degree. And the kids all got together and they decided that if Mom was going to go to school, they were going to help out. And Calvin was going to make a hot breakfast for the kids because I insisted on a hot breakfast before they went to school. He got it goofed and had an awful lot of salt in it. I guess it was unedible.
I do remember that.
And
yes,
the girls helped with the laundry and everything. It was a family project to get Mom through school. And when I finally got through school, they gave me my first batch of roses.
Well, I do remember
The salt, huh?
Yeah, I remember the roses, too. Okay, so let's go to the marriage part. You told me how you met. How did you know he was the one?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Just developed.
It just happened. It happened after several years, after a few years, because...
How did he propose?
Well, he just plumb always told me. He never asked me. He just told me.
That you were going to get married to
him? Yep. That's the way it was. He didn't ever give me a chance. Every time I wanted to break up with him, he actually cried. And I did send him a Dear John letter when he was in the service once. And then I had to get it back. And one time while I was going to school, and he was going to school at Southern State Teachers College, and my roommate, well, I was going to go to this dance, which I had spent the last of my money that I had saved up for that year on this pink formal to go to this dance. And then he told me that he wasn't coming. I guess the real reason was he couldn't afford to come. Anyway, my roommate and I wrote him a letter. It almost burned. It was pretty bad. I told him off, and then we went to mail it. And I was ready to not mail it, pull it back out, when my roommate pushed it in the box. It got mailed, so I didn't know if he was coming or not, because in those days you didn't make telephone calls. He came, though. He was always available whenever I wanted him.
So once you were married, what was the best times? Or maybe you want to tell me about... I want to know the best times and maybe the more difficult times.
Well, the best times were when you kids were born. And the worst times were when one time he took a... I was... ripped a slip off from me, and I got so mad I left. Another time was, we were only together on weekends because I was teaching and he was working, and my friend always brought me home back on weekends. And that weekend, she did too, but he was met us. He'd gotten off work early and came to the, was coming, and we met him outside of town. And he went all the way to Lenox where I was working. And was he mad when I was already back in Laverne?
You were married then.
Yes.
And so you, did you stay with somebody in Lenox or what?
Yes, we had a room. We rented a room.
Okay.
A friend and I had a room there. And she was a teacher too. And we shared a room. And then she always brought me back on weekends.
Okay. During those more difficult times, did you ever think of getting divorced?
I never thought of divorcing him. I was thinking about leaving him one time. He was drinking too much and spending the money that should have been spent on the kids. And just drinking and drinking and drinking and wouldn't quit. And I had thought about leaving him, not divorcing him, because I wouldn't do that. I did not believe in divorce. And besides that, I just wanted him to change. And I know one time I left and went out on the road and walked away. I didn't want the kids to see him as he was getting too bad from all the drinking. I did not want them to see that.
So then, how did you get help?
Well, one time, he tried to quit and it didn't work. So, finally I came home one night and he had promised he'd quit and he never did. Came home one night and there he was. At it again. Not too bad, but I could tell he'd been at it again. And I didn't even say anything. And he said, "What do you want me to do? What are we going to do?" And I said, "Well, I have this slip of paper in my pocket with a phone number. I would like you to make this phone call. And he said he would. I was going swimming that night. And I said, do you want me to stay home while you make this phone call? And he said, no, I will make it myself. So I came home from swimming and I said, well, did you make the phone call? Yes, I did. And I've got an appointment tomorrow at 12 o'clock or whatever time it was, 11 maybe. And so he kept that phone. I went to school the next day. And I called him at noon. And I said, well, did you go to that appointment? And he said, yes, he did. And I said, and what happened? And he said, well, I'm an alcoholic. And that just hurt me so bad because I was not ready to admit it. And besides that, he was going for treatment, and he was going to turn it in on my school insurance. And I didn't want anyone else to know it. The neighbors didn't even know that he was drinking too much. He hid it. He was a silent drinker. And he never had another drop after that. Mm-hmm. Never.
Pretty proud of him.
Yes, I am.
I am too. So, could you give me any advice for young couples?
I try to have all young couples say that they should, when they go to bed at night, they should always hold hands and say the Lord's Prayer together, kiss and go to sleep. And if there are problems, talk it over. And try to remember, why did you get married in the first place? There must have been something there that wanted you to be married.
So, how about we go into the religion? Can you tell me about your religious beliefs and background? What was your religion?
I was a strong Lutheran. I grew up in Salem, where I'm not sure what denomination of what Lutheran it was. Probably Augustana Lutheran, which is now ALC, or ELCA. But anyway, we were all very religious. My mother was. My dad was so-so. Uncle Jim did not go to church, but he would see, too, that we were there. Mm-hmm. When we got married, I married a guy who was a very, very strong Lutheran. And that's the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced any miracles?
Him quitting drinking was certainly one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say, as far as miracles, just the child being born was a miracle.
Mm-hmm. What do you think heaven will be like?
I just think everybody's going to be happy.
When you meet God, what do you want to know or say to him?
I'm sure glad I'm here.
That's a great big thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah. how about, I think we've covered this. Tell me about any serious illness and
me, for myself?
Yeah. Did you ever have any?
Oh, I've had.
You've had some
back problems. I have spinal stenosis, which is a bad disease for getting your vertebrae too close together. It causes bad aches and pains.
Yeah. So do you ever think about dying?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Are you scared of dying?
No. No, I don't think I am. I don't want to, because I'd just as soon have a little more fun first.
Do you look at your life differently now than you did before?
Well, yes, I think it used to be that everything was just for fun, and now it's more serious, and I think more of other people now than I used to. And trying to always include more people in things and trying to help more people.
Do you have any last wishes?
Just everybody do your best and keep God on your side.
So going, kind of following into that, you have any advice for your kids or even their children to come into the family? What would that be? What kind of advice would you want to give them?
I think they need to, as I said, don't get divorced. We talked about what I thought of that. And always treat other people right. I don't know. Just try to keep everybody, take care of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Put other people before yourself.
Yes, before yourself.
How do you want to be remembered?
Kind of like we said before, yeah.
Okay, so family heritage, there's a, your ethnic background is...
Mixed,
okay.
We did not talk any more about Laborers for Christ.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
that was after you retired.
Yes, and we had traveled all 50 states, and we decided that there's got to be more to life than this. And a few people had been after us to join Laborers for Christ, and we kind of put it off. And finally, one day, Willie said, "How would you like to go to Arizona after Christmas?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Well, we'll join Laborers for Christ." Well, that's how he brought it up, was he, "We'll go to Arizona and build a church." Well, we joined Laborers for Christ, and we never did build a church in Arizona, but we did 15 years of it, and it was very, very rewarding. Uh-huh. We have friends all over the United States now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was a great mission, especially after you're retired.
Yep. Yeah. And we can think of so many churches that might never have been built had we not done this. Mm-hmm. It was a great way for them to get their buildings and the religion added into it at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we could go back and hit some of these other stories.
That's probably enough.
There's the family, relatives, and you already told me about Uncle Jim and your dad. How about any jokes or stories or family songs, traditions?
I don't think so.
You made your own traditions.
Yeah. Well, at Easter time, This was came from my husband's family. We always made it our nest for Easter. All of the clothes that you wore that day had to be the clothes you wore that day because they had to smell like you, because the Easter Bunny would know if you used somebody else's clothes and tried to make a bigger nest. So be fair and take what you deserve.
So it wasn't an Easter basket, it was an Easter nest.
Yes, exactly.
That was from
Dad's side.
Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't ask him about that. Well, thank you so much. This was fun. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.